Ongi etorri Donostiako zinemaldiaren 68 edizioko prentzaurrekora, eta gaur Akelarre filmeari buruz hitz egingo dugu. Y para esto tenemos aquí al equipo de la película. Tenemos a Maya Berasturi, actriz, a Alex Brendemühl, actor, a Pablo Agüero, el director.
Agüero, the director, and also the producers, Koldo Zuazua, Iker Ganuza, and Pret Memel. Okay, before starting, if you'll allow me, I would like to ask a question for the, especially the director of the film, Akelarre, is how, from a person from Mendoza, Argentina, directs a film half Basque and half in Spanish upon witches in the Basque country. How does that come about? Well, it's a very long story. I don't know how to summarize the answer. Well, it's the result of research. I discovered a French historian, I read a book of a French historian in the 19th century, talked about the witches of being a woman who was a rebel, rebellious, and who were persecuted, and I thought that was quite revolutionary. And also something personally, I was born in Mendoza in the forest in Patagonia, and therefore that struggle to survive in very difficult social conditions and confrontation with nature, that talked to me personally as well. And through that book, which gave a full range of what happened with witches in many regions of Europe and also America, I came to the story which was more representative and quite unique, which is that of the Basque people, for different reasons, because of the people that most resisted, because others like the Cathars or the Britons, for example, lost their language, and also because a judges from different regions wrote diaries of their cases, but it was almost poetic, that level of delirium, and created a true delirious work of the hunt, the witch hunt, which was Pierre Lirond, who was here, which was almost metaphysical and also quite political, which was what interested me. I came all the way to the Basque country. In the 10 years that took to develop this script and this project, I started to travel here and to nourish myself more with meeting the people here and local research that I carry out here in the Basque country. So I came more Basque, and I started to Basqueize myself, so to speak. Let's now open the question to the floor. Yes. Hi. My question is for the actress. I would like to know, how was it to shoot those scenes that were so violent? Because the scene which I was looking down to, I looked down to avoid the trauma. I don't know how you came out of that, shooting that scene. Yes, the truth is, there's a lot of concentration work involved. The atmosphere helps because we're in a basement, the light. The atmosphere was quite tense in general, so therefore with that, entering into the role is much easier. But I also had my moments of being alone, of being able to concentrate myself. And it's true that when I entered into the character quite a lot, the actor suffers, quote unquote. But at the end of the day, when they say cut, you get over it. And so, therefore, to know how to get into and leave the character is what it's all about. A question for the director. I'd like to know what references, not sure documentary or pictorial documentary, references that you have to make the film, and then the actors to Alex and Amaya. Also, how was your process of creating the characters, and how did you document yourself, research to get into your characters? I read and looked everything that had been made upon witch hunting or everything related to witch hunts, and I took more references of what we shouldn't be done. I took references in the negative sense, because I came to the conclusion that the idea that we have of a certain period is a cliche that we copy one after another. I didn't have truthful documents of the 17th century, the images of what faces the people have and how they walked. So there is a lot of very stereotype and rigid sort of historical clichés that were set up from one film to the other, and we copied them to a certain extent. So therefore my objective was to break down with that and to make it atemporal, that is to say, and respecting undoubtedly what we do know, which is true, and to try to give it a true narration, but give reality to the characters. I took references, but I said, let's not do this or the other. Let's not fall into these cliches. Let's create something new that can be identified and accessible, but something new in the visual sense as well. In the visual sense, I didn't take films as a reference, but I looked at a lot of paintings of the Baroque period. And the Baroque period is when this film takes place, just after the Renaissance, quite late. And I was very interested I studied a lot vis-a-vis the lighting, but this film, I didn't want to make paintings. What I did was create atmosphere and devices. Like the rules of a game in the interiors, I look at the source of light and the type of the choreography of the actors, and the visual side is a consequence. We didn't set up a certain scene to make it beautiful. There are rules of the game with the light that comes into the basement, for example, how I see placed at the cameras vis-a-vis the characters. I wanted to make it more expressive, but I wanted the priority for the act to be the actors and how natural they are and the strength and the power of what's going on in the scene. And so therefore, this in itself already determined the language that we use. Hi. I'm going to I don't know how to talk without a mask, so I'm going to drop the mask. Basically, I researched and read the treaty on witchcraft written by Pierre Delage, which was served me as a reference to understand these pseudo-scientific theories that he sets up vis-a-vis how to detect the signs of witchcraft and also how to be aware of any little detail that can contribute or give you a clue. So therefore, I had that need of constructing the character that on the one hand had a component, as I say, pseudo-scientific, as I said before, and appears to be objective, but is completely annulled by the subjectivity of this character. On the other hand, for example, has that point. He's like an artist who's capable of detecting beauty and the subtlety of nature and of the nature of everything. So the passion of the character had to be there, and it emerged from the discussion that we held with Pablo about which way to construct, how we could voices and gestures of the character, and by the way he looked, had to be in a special place. So therefore, it's a type of, like those, the colonizers of Herzog and Kinski's films, who it seems that they destroy everything, but in the back of their minds, they've got a special sensitivity to not be empathic with other people. But it was a very juicy character, and during the shoot we shot a more realistic scene and another one which was overacted in the sense of stressing the gestures and the way we looked at each other and the intentions, so that they could play with different tones in the editing, that was what we were looking for. We wanted to join all the performances, and that for an actor is delightful, that is to say, because to look for those type of performances that are almost caricaturesque of in this character which stems from realistic situations, but which enables you also to enter into that delirium and to look for more emotion, which is much more underlined or underscored. I'm going to take the mask to talk because I can speak. My character, for example, the truth is when I received the script, it was 1609 and I started to historically look back the social and cultural context of that period. And all of a sudden I met Pablo and he proposes that this could be something atemporal, albeit we're talking about that period. I like the idea. It made me think that the truth is this can happen at any period of time, and not why you don't have to create your character based upon any period, because people are the same in the past as well as nowadays. We're still people. And I liked the way he proposed it. It was very clear that it had to be someone who was very savage, free, who does what she wants and when and because she wants to, and in a period in which people tell you not to. So that's how we constructed things. And to achieve that savage side of things, I inspired myself on the wolf, because Anna is a bit wolfish. And I liked going down that line for the character. And Anna is a character who's very complex. She's innocent, but at the same time, she's brave. She's very complex, so therefore, I think the main thing was to that savage side of her. And then when the character was quite constructed and was quite closed, shall we say, we had to do, well, I went to the shoot to play and to listen and to see my colleagues. And with Alex specifically, it worked very well to be here now, look at each other as well. Plus, we were recording with two cameras, which helps you very much to receive the response of the other character, because you can see how you give and take when you perform your character. And I liked very much to work like that. It's a pleasure, because at the same time, we've got two faces can be seen and the response is real. The truth is, that's what I would highlight, because I think that natural component was there, albeit we've all constructed our characters, but we went to the scene and we played really. And it was also savage. That's a bit savage at the same time. So that's what Anna's really like. Anna and the wolves, Anna and the she-wolf. Hi, I have a question for the entire, all of the people. What was the technical side? How difficult was that to prepare this film and to shooting any of the scenes? And congratulations for the film too, by the way. Where do we start? Well, I think that the Aquelarre scene and the composition, the choreography and music is to have a group of girls in a forest singing, playing instruments and dancing savagely and linked by chains around a real bonfire. And that it's got to sound very visually, has to sound very, look very coherent, but it was very complex because they were joined by chains, and then they were making things with branches and also almost acrobatic dancing. So there was a lot of rehearsal to learn to sing, to dance, to recompose the music together, and a very complex process. And it's easy sometimes in cinema for something to seem very beautiful. You can do a playback and everything in the scene looks very clean. And sometimes it's too rigid or too perfect. Or you can use the contrary extreme and you don't understand anything. The producer, I drove him crazy because we recorded everything in the studio. Then we did playback with earphones. I said, you play the earphones, I play the studio. Now you want to record the music and live. And then we went back to the studio to record part of the songs and breathing. And now you've got to pay the studio again. But that mixture, all of a sudden, we've got a great layer of savage and natural concepts with a lot of different tracks and a lot of different points of view from the image standpoint, which allows us to mix the realism of what existed there and the control that you can have of mixing a song in a studio where you've got different tracks and you know exactly what you want to be listened to at each time. And that between what's physical and the sound side of things, it was quite complex, plus creating a dramatic progression because it's a scene, undoubtedly. That was the most complex side of things, I think. I think he answered. The only thing I would say is to add that the locations of the Aquelarre, as they are women from fishermen, obviously we had to do it on one of the cliffs next to the sea, and that was a difficult situation to find a place where to shoot at night next to the sea where the wind's blowing, where we have to prepare a bonfire, dancing, cameras, lighting, and so on. So therefore, we had to do a whole series of, well, we had to use a lot of lies and tricks to situate the scene close to the sea, which it truly is not, albeit it does seem like it is. It's shot in Urbasa, in the Sierra of Urbasa, along with the, obviously, the cliffs of Barrica, and this is something that we use in cinema. Iker and Freth, do you want to add anything vis-a-vis the difficulties that you've encountered from the production side of things? No, I think what they've said, perhaps, there are obviously many, but these two are the most significant ones. I would say, obviously, the casting was a very complicated process because Pablo was quite specific. He was very demanding of the freshness of the characters and the savage side of things, the aspect that the girls got to have, the actresses. He insisted upon they shouldn't be professional, or at least they shouldn't be contaminated by the rules of acting or the tricks of acting, shall we say. And it was a long process. At the end of the day, we almost spent a year, just over a year, looking, seeing a lot of girls in throughout the Basque Country, doing a lot of castings until we found the six that I think are excellent, by the way. That was also another complicated part. I would add something else, which is the international co-production, because it's a film that emerges in Paris, then comes to the Basque Country. From the Basque Country, it goes to Brittany, and then Brittany, it goes to Buenos Aires. So therefore, it's a co-production in three different countries with different producers here in Spain and in France and in Argentina. And so therefore, the work has been it's very difficult to weave it all together. But I think the result has been quite positive. We are very proud of the work, the teamwork that we've carried out between the three countries and the different production companies. And the truth is, it's been complicated, but the result has been quite positive. I'm not too sure whether you want to add anything, Efir. Excuse me, but I'm going to speak in French a little, very quickly. Yes, the truth is, it was complex. In order to finish, I think it was quite formidable that nowadays, I know that for Pablo, it's been a very long road from when he wrote the script until he produced it. But with this international co-production, as Koldo said, I think that we've managed to achieve a very auteur film, which is quite committed, has a lot to say. It's a significant film. I think it's an excellent piece of news for cinema. I think it's fantastic to be able to present this film here in the San Sebastian Film Festival. Thank you. Last two questions, one for Amaya and another one for Pablo. The first, I want to ask Amaya, when preparing your character, did you find things in common that made you felt empathy with, as a woman, with this character that you were going to portray in Aquelarre? For Pablo, I'd like to ask you whether you believe that this film is like a struggle against and fight against ignorance, which in a certain way we can see reflected in the current situation, present day, that is, it's like a reflection of the world in which we live, despite the fact that it's a story which takes place in 1609. Thank you. As regards to empathy, yes. As regards to what Iker said when Pablo was looking in the casting for girls that are not actresses, I'd made a film and I said, let's see how I do it. In the casting, I started to construct my character, another character that Pablo could think that I was a bit savage and wild, but that's where I started to try to seek empathy with this type of character, to be able to fool Pablo and to think that at least I'm a bit savage or wild. I'm not too sure whether I achieved it or not, but I remember I said, I'm gonna take my shoes off and go bare feet, and then I tried to enter into the character and use that empathy as much as possible. The fact we spent a year, and this helps quite a lot, because the film, we started to rehearse it 3 months beforehand. In the casting, we came 1 year before recording, and this helped me very much to enter in. Even in the rehearsals, I tried to be constantly constructing and proposing things, and that's where things emerge. Initially, I didn't see anything in common with her, but you start to link things together, and obviously as a woman you are, because I'm a woman, and there are things that, like I said before, is atemporal. We continue to live in a patriarchal world, and the truth is I'm quite fortunate that I can basically do what I want. But it's not 100% the same. There are men here, and in that sense, I feel empathy towards Anna, and similarities. Anna is a character, is very vital. She's very energetic, and in the film, it's not that you see too much of that part, because we're in a basement, almost in a cell, where you're in at the bottom of the, you know, you're stuck in the shit because you can't do much. But there are moments that despite the point that you're about to die, there's always a smile. She feels like making jokes, to which she enjoys her beautiful dress she's wearing. And there are moments that are almost fun, and she has a good time in the worst situation. I'm not that extreme in that sense, but I am a person that I try to enjoy and laugh and have a good time. So therefore, in that sense, we can have that in common. But I don't consider myself half as brave as Anna. And she's very daring at times. She's almost bad-mannered and funny at the same time. And that savage side of thing, I discovered it after having composed the character. I didn't think about it. I said, well, maybe I've got some things that perhaps are similar to her. Yes, that's true. You're smiling. I'm very savage. Oh, no, she's jumping about with her legs. Yes, it's true that the contact with nature and everything, we do share it. I like going to the beach in winter and going to the forest, to the mountain. I'm very active. I like to ride horses. So therefore, there are things that we do share, but I think at the end of the day, the construction is very complex, and I try to get away from myself so that this... I felt like doing something different, and Anna allows you to do it. She has got quite a range, and within the film, she constructs a character as well, so therefore there's a lot. I enjoyed it very much, performing and portraying this role. And the other question that you asked, I did not try to construct the film like a mirror or a parallelism of the present day, but it does tell a founding moment of our current society. That education for the terror that we were subjected to for many centuries, which was planned and which is written down in manuals, and it's written in the manuals of inquisitors and papal bills. So therefore it was called, they obliged people to denunciate. If you didn't denunciate someone or report someone, you were punished. So it generates a climate of terror and imposes a moral system which endures over the centuries. And there was centuries of persecution and arresting people who had different customs and make them disappear. We try to make memory disappear. On the one hand, you create the myths of the Christian saints that withheld and stood up to the Romans, but there are, on the other hand, other people, you make them disappear from history. They were burnt their bodies, they destroyed their houses, they burnt the inscriptions. They said these women didn't ever exist. So this film brings them to life. They did live, they were alive, and in a certain sense, they thought very similar to what we think now, that the inquisitors thought, and that with their culture, they were very backward in the way they thought. But it talks about our current situation because of the founding moment in which we were, it was a longer process, but it was a key moment in which they imposed throughout Europe and a great part of America, that way of thinking. Hi, everyone. I wanted to ask about locations, which I thought were beautiful. So thank you very much, Calder. You've already answered that part. And I'd like to know, ask Pablo, because this is something that several colleagues have discussed, where there is any intentionality, specifically, of not clearly demonstrating the end of the film, in which the scene finishes there with Alex's character saying, what's happened? Thank you. Yes, There were many, many versions of the script that was rewritten, and I wrote it 2 months before shooting the film, and I wrote several alternative endings to the film. We discussed this quite a lot from the aesthetic and ethical side of things. There's a dialogue between the ethical and the aesthetic side of things. We don't want to too frustrate. We don't want an ending which too spectacular or frustrating could end, turn into a certain publicity of exaggerated joy of a story which is quite serious, which and what's the just, the right way of doing things. A happy ending is a happy ending, which happens, ends just before the end. The truth is we all end up dying because things end up bad. But if you finish just a moment before, I thought about Thelma and Louise when they jump into the void, and it's a happy ending because you see a car that breaks down, but you don't see the bodies. But a witch hunt can't have a happy ending because it didn't have a happy ending. And at the same time, you couldn't show a non-happy ending or an unhappy ending because we finished the film with them burnt in the bonfires or burnt at the stake. But the spectator already knows this at the beginning. That's why I put it at the beginning. I showed it at the beginning. They're burning women at the stake. In the witch house, I thought, let's put it at the beginning of the film. And now let's tell the story of these girls. So therefore, it's a challenge between what's ethical and what's aesthetic, and to find the right place, how much you should show or not show to show some hope, perhaps, but project into the future. We can see they managed to modify or they invent something in a certain way, and they survived, and to a certain extent, they survived through their imagination, because what they do is to resist with the only weapon they have against this disproportionate power, which is their imagination. So their imagination created something. Part of that decision, ethical and aesthetic decision, is to go towards more fantasy film, a more commercial notion, which has been done in many, many films. Beyond it, for people that are guilty, there are true witches somewhere, and that was, once again, to continue with the discourse of the Inquisitors, for example, to repeat the discourse that they had, that there were women that were truly witches at the end of the day. Perhaps it's almost like saying it made sense that they burnt them at the stake, but I couldn't fall into that because it would bring about, worried about more satisfaction of the people that were viewing it and perhaps more commercial success. I had an ethical obligation vis-a-vis this issue. I discussed this and I wrote the script. We had debates with brainstorming, even in the train from Paris to Hendaya via email with the producers, discussing of all the aspects and implications from a moral and narrative standpoint of each of the endings. And we drew that conclusion of having this ending. The locations, I would just like to say, if you want to know them all, the film is shot in Sara and Itziar de Saconeta, in the beach of Laga Urbasa, in the cliffs of Barrica. And as we got, not only do we wrote them, but we've also filmed this about 100 hours for a 90-minute film. So therefore, there are scenes. I've got scenes of the girls singing the song in the middle of the sea, coming out of the water, which is beautiful, but because of different, we've got so many significant scenes which enabled us beyond the economics and aesthetic side of things to say, this has got to be in the film and this doesn't have to be in the film. It's not pertinent in the corpus of the film. But we even filmed right over the top. We've done a lot of scenes. But we've reflected, obviously the decision we made, we reflected upon the, and this what drove the producers crazy. The scenes with many people, which are very complex, with many extras. And the fact is, I was falling into a moment ago, and what I didn't want to do at the end of that, I said, well, look, we're spending money on costumes. We saw that quite a lot, how the people, what they wore, and the fishing markets and so on. This film is concentrated upon the adventure and the resistance of a group of girls, and everything has to be focused upon that. You've got to sacrifice scenes that cost a lot of money and work and time, but but it didn't address what was truly important. So therefore, you spend a lot of work and money and time, and it takes you to truly choose what's most important, what is really going to be essential to convey to the audience. Let's finish right away. We've got time for a couple of questions. This one over here. First of all, thank you very much for making us think and memory and talk about the past. The film, Pablo, you said, talks about the resistance of a group of girls. And El Aquelarre, for example, I've seen characters of women who are very, very strong, even if they're locked up in jail or whether they've been had their hair cut. I don't know whether the Pablo, how it's affected the story or the Amaya and Alex or creating the characters, the fact echoes of the Basque matriarch. Or is the story gone down those lines and those characters have emerged that way due to that? Or are there any? And there's an also, I'm not too sure whether I can give it to her, and I give it to her. It's just a little Asenas Luguak. We've got him in 1972 here in the Basque Country. We wanted you to have that as a memoir that will be handed to you by the hostess. Yes, it did have an influence because there are many years of research, a whole library of researching upon this subject matter, which at the end of the day, you've got to leave it in an hour and a half. And it's got to seem not an historical treaty, not a political manifesto. It's got to be the story of girls that we have good time watching. And between the lines, we can feel other things. So therefore, that's what magic of cinema is for me. You feel what you can't see, work which is outside the frame. A script has 100 pages and it has many, many things that are not written on the page but are understood in the architecture or between the lines of the dialogues. And part of that research were all the specificities of the Basque Country at that time and the role of women in society, which is part of what bothered the powers that be at that stage, and the influence of that type of society in the characterization of the women's roles, and also chose male roles, men's roles that were a bit comical. It's much more afraid when you treat the characters, the leading actors in a dramatic way and the villains in a comical way, and I think it makes it much more fearful because it destabilizes you even more, I think. I'm not sure where Alex, you mentioned when you wanted to talk about that. No. It was quite a pleasure for me to achieve almost that comical, my men's characters or male characters are quite absurd. It sometimes we're a bit like a white Augustus or a counter-Augustus, plus the surgeon who's even worse. So we're a disaster, really, as actors or men actors. And it was I wanted the discourse to be quite clear and not ambiguous at all from the standpoint that where male characters that abuse their power and take full advantage of their status, of their position, and to a certain extent, they're like the civil servants that are bored of doing what they do all life long, and they're there, or those theatre companies that go all around the country doing their performances, and what they do is burn witches at the stake. So therefore, it was to establish and to symbolise, shall we say, something in favour of a specific feminist discourse. There are many things that my character says that was very difficult for me to say, but someone has to do it, undoubtedly. Last question. Hi, first of all, congratulations for the film. I liked it very much. I'd like to ask a question to the actors, which I think you did a great job. How was Amaya to work with Alex and Alex with Amaya? And Amaya, what's it like to work with the rest of the girls? Because there's a lot of chemistry between the five of you. F- For me, Amaya was a discovery. We started to rehearse, and it was easy. What she said before, I think that we worked from the same place of looking at each other and listening to see how things emerged at that time in the situation. So therefore, when you encounter an actress who's there in front of you, who breathes and who with her look and with the work and her look and the way she looks and her presence and with the music, the work was almost magnetic. Of going further in depth and getting rid of layers of these different characters. And it was a great privilege and to get to know each other more and more and becoming more permeable within the limits, the characters set within the film, within the script, which was the tension that starts to emerge, where you don't know who's seducing who. And at the end, that confusion that is generated in my character starts to fall to pieces. He starts to lose all of his references. So she executed that role perfectly to make me lose my control. I hope she's got a very prosperous and marvelous future. She's amazing, a great actress and a very good colleague. Thank you. Well, that makes me feel good. Well, yes, at the end of the day, this is when you've done your homework, you can notice in the case of Alex, that's perfectly. The moments we met, there was also a construction. All we needed was to touch up a few details, but to get to know each other's, to close. And what he said at the end of the day was, we already had constructed our characters, put it in common, and to listen to each other. And the way we looked at each other, there's something special that we see each other, and things happened already without having to say anything. And that's a true pleasure. The truth is, it was marvelous, and I enjoyed it very much. Despite the scenes with Alex were very tense and very intense, we enjoyed it very much. And that's what he says: you don't know who seduces who, how tense everything and how surreal everything that's happening is. And Anna also describes the judge as somehow beautiful, and obviously. Or handsome? How can someone be handsome who's arrested you and there's hate and attraction, sexual attraction and mental attraction of what Anna's telling him? That I think we've managed to achieve this, and you can see that in the film. And I think that comes above all from looking at each other and seeing each other, and to allow this to happen. And Pablo also allowed us to. Quite free, as we said before, of recording and to see what happens of recording thousands of hours. And there were moments of silence and nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, something happens, and these are resources that can be used in the film. And with my colleagues, the girls, we rehearsed very much. We've laughed quite a lot outside the shoot, in the shoot. We've made very good friends now. And the fact is, it's marvelous, and this is something that Pablo had in mind. It was very important, rehearsals, to sing, to have fun, go for a drink later, and to to laugh all together and to enjoy each other all together. That was a key element, I believe, to be able to, this you can perceive in the film, the connection between all of them. They're friends, they've been together all their lives, and we met a year before, and some of us less, because we entered into the project of the film at different times. So therefore, this is something to be seen, because it's a connection that we've truly managed to achieve. And it was marvelous as also to do the film with them. They're all incredible girls, Alex as well. And I think that can be noticed. That's noticed well when a film is full of good, very good people. You can notice this, and I think you can see it in the film. It's reflected in the film. And the truth is, with Alex, I can't say anything. You can see him in the film. He's magnificent in the film. So therefore, and answering to what you said before about the witches, that I didn't answer you, We Basque people, which is in Basque culture, and they are a reference for us. And at the end of the day, the good thing about this is, what is it? I wish everyone was a witch. I'm waiting for everyone to turn into, boys and girls to turn into a witch, and to do what you want, how you want, without bothering anyone. That's the thing. Allow people to live and let live. Well, thank God. I wish everyone was full of witches and warlocks. So I hope so. I wish that was the case. Let's leave it here. Thank you very much to everyone.